Adrian, buddy, did you check out last week's podcast? No more Tiny Tight Show. From now on, we got NXT, an NXT fan podcast. All NXT talk, latest results, with our insight. Zach and I totally switched the format. What'd you think of the last week's show, man?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. First of all, before you begin, what you did last week, that was shameful.
What?
You had an opportunity. Your debut in NXT in front of the world, and you chose to do that? You chose to do that? Shame on you, man! Shame on you!
Merry Christmas, bitch!
Who got next? NXT, Mike and Zach, podcast free. That little devil, little devil, you deserve a medal. Sami Zayn, insane in the brain. I remain a diehard. Y2J is Lionheart. NXT podcast, you should listen to it. Why not? Who's got next? NXT, Mike and Zach, podcast free.
And as Zach drinks his beverage, it is We Got Next, your NXT fan podcast. I am one half of your broadcast team. We are no longer tag team champions. We're just like all good former wrestlers who they don't know how to do with or get concussions. We are relegated to your broadcast team. I am Mike Batchelor.
I'm Zach Selleck. Let me ask you, are you Mike Tanay or are you Taz?
I'm thinking I'm more A-Train Jason Albert.
Ooh, okay.
You could be the Corey Graves of this podcast.
Let's call that now. I'm Zach Selleck, guys, and this is We Got Next, and this is official number one.
We're number one. Your first episode. Last week was the pilot of our rebranding from the Tiny Tight Show to now focusing on NXT. We're focused, Zach.
We're super focused. Yeah, we used to have an excellent podcast called The Tiny Tights Show, but we're rebranded. We're repackaged. We are no longer McGillicuddy. We are now Axel.
That's right. And maybe 3 weeks from now, we'll be the bunny. But for now, we are focusing on all things NXT, WWE's developmental system, which is the better show, better talent. So we're going to just focus every week the latest on results, news, and insight like only we can provide.
It's a hot show right now. Twitter loves it. The internet loves it. So
they don't know they love it, but trust me, just like Vince McMahon shoving Roman Reigns down everyone's throat, they're going to love it.
For sure. So we love it too, of course. So we want to dedicate a show strictly for NXT. So We Got Next is what we're providing, really. So
right. This week's terrible beer of the week. So tradition here on We Got Next, I drink a terrible beer. So this week we have the banana bread beer. From Wells Brewing Company. So I'm
terrified. Have you had a sip yet?
No, I've never tried this yet.
Okay, so let's document your first sip of banana bread beer.
Yes, if I can get this fucking thing open. As I try and open this son of a bitch, what did you think of this week's episode of NXT? Fresh off NXT Arrival.
Yeah, we had Our Evolution, actually, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yes, Our Evolution. It was Our Evolution.
And it was Our Evolution, yeah. That was a fantastic show. That was right before the TLC pay-per-view, and it elevated the boys. They said they were a little bit motivated. I thought, all in all, it was a good week of wrestling. And how is that? Is it a pop top or a twist?
It's a pop top.
Pop top? You got to pop that top?
It's being difficult.
Yeah, well, I can't wait. The anticipation is killing me. It's really killing me. Yes. So I can't really wait.
The video packages on NXT. There we go. Now we're open.
Okay, here we go, guys. Banana bread beer. Who in the world who came up with this? That's what I want to know. Who came up with this?
And me drinking seeing me drink banana beer works really good on the audio podcast. So
did you get it at the beer store or the liquor store?
I got it at the LCBO.
At the LCBO. Okay. Is there any other baked good beers? At the said LCBO,
I don't know, but I think this time of year, I would assume there'd be a fruitcake beer.
Was there like a brownie beer or an apple pie beer or?
Okay, let's see what it says on the label here. Long ago, ale was known as liquid bread. We've used our long history of creating the finest malt blends and added fair trade of banana to awaken the senses with a seriously fruity, rich, surprisingly versatile banana bread beer.
I wish I had my own banana bread beer now. Probably not. Once I had a sip, I'd be like, burp. Okay, here we go. He's having a sip. Gulp, gulp, gulp. Okay. Oh, his face, his eyebrows squinched. He looks a little discomfort. A little discomfort in his face.
It feels like I just drank the sweat from Biggie's jockstrap.
Okay, so does it give me like a flavor? Where is it? What's the flavor?
It tastes like bananas. It does, which is fucked up. It's earthy.
Does it taste like bread?
No, it tastes like someone ground up all those like candy banana things, like those marshmallow bananas, and put it in the beer.
Well, that concludes it, ladies and gentlemen.
This may be the last time of
the banana bread.
Batch's beer on the We Got NXT.
Yeah, well, let me open with the show. So
yes, let's get on to the results. What happened this week, Zach, on NXT?
Let me get into it, Batch. The show opens with Mr. Adrian Neville comes out to his theme music. And what do you think about his theme music? Are you a fan? It's kind of like Prodigy, right? Like it's kind of like the old Prodigy.
I like how half the crowd is like really an Adrian Neville, and then there's that one guy in the crowd that's just going like this. Lone guy, no one around him. He's just, I'm an Adrian Neville fan. I'm going like this, and like I'm a loser.
I know you do notice the things in the crowd a little bit more than me. That's good. I didn't notice that. That's pretty funny though. Yeah, so he was definitely playing the good guy, and he was cutting a promo about how he was proud of his match with Sami Zayn. It was the best match of his life.
And I wish Sami Zayn were here, but he's not.
But no, he wasn't. So Sami Zayn's not in the building, which is another good thing. It doesn't overexpose the talent when they're there every single week. So it's nice to show that even though Sami Zayn was so hot the night before or the show before, they didn't feel compelled to have to use him.
Yes, like they're doing the injury angle of Kevin Owens powerbombing out of the ring apron.
Yeah, so he wasn't there. So Kevin Steen comes out, and he...
Shame on you, Kevin.
Shame on you. Yeah, I thought Neville cut a pretty good little promo on him. That showed a little bit of emotion.
He's getting better, like, because he was terrible when he first, don't let the Hobbit talk. But he's getting better.
Yeah, I thought he showed a little bit of emotion. So I felt pretty proud of him there. And Steen says if Neville has a problem with him, they'll just have to fight. Like, Steen says he doesn't have a problem with Neville, but if Neville has a problem with him, okay, we'll fight.
First thing I thought after watching that promo, quit writing Kevin Steen promos. Just, it really felt like it was forced. It didn't feel natural. Just... let Kevin rave like a maniac, and if you gotta bleep him, bleep him.
Yeah, I thought he worked with it all right. There's a couple moments that did feel a little unnatural, but no, I thought he worked with it with what he had pretty good. And my first thought, like I have it written down here, was it's nice to see Steen being thrown right into the main event picture on NXT, right?
Where he needs to be.
He can obviously hold his own on the mic and in the ring, so why not, right? But it leads me – I'll jump ahead. They actually have a match later, which is fantastic, Neville versus Steen. And one of the first things that the announcers were talking about, Graves and Albert were talking about how Steen – arguing about whether Steen deserves to be in the main event picture. So I really like how they addressed that right away because that was one of my first thoughts when obviously
My one criticism with NXT commentary is they really need to divide the line. Okay, who's the heel? Who's the good guy?
I think they're trying to now because Corey Graves was siding with Steen and bashing Enzo Amore, calling him stupid. So I think they're trying to with Corey Graves.
He needs to be a little bit more edge to him. Like, okay, he is the heel. He is the babyface commentator.
I agree. They definitely have some improving to do there.
Yes.
But so, yeah, what do you think that first segment? Do you think it was a success with Neville and Mr. Owens?
I would give it 4 2-sweets on my rating scale. We're still working on the 2-sweet rating scale, at least on my end.
Mm-hmm. And do you like that they're making Steen heel?
Oh, yeah, he needs to be NXT's number one bad guy.
Right on. So next we got Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch had an interview, and I said, I think, was she Irish, Scottish?
She's Irish.
She's Irish, yeah. And so the interview is setting up a match versus Bayley next. So
because she laid out Bayley on the pre-show for NXT Revolution.
Yeah, so even though they're not in each other's corners, Charlotte has kind of taken Bayley under her wing, and Sasha Banks has kind of taken Becky Lynch under her wing, even though they're not like accompanying each other to the ring. So, but they're still kind of just heels with heels and face with face, right? So,
do you think Bayley's gimmick could work on WWE?
I think it could. I think she's very likable.
The nerdy girl next door.
Yeah, it works for her. Definitely works for her. So that set up the match versus Bayley versus Becky Lynch. And you know what? I really liked Becky Lynch's theme music.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's like some punk rock and
she's got the head going and she's doing the devil horns and mm-hmm. I think I can work with her because now that Paige is no longer on NXT roster, you need someone to fill that bad girl kind of vibe.
It works for me because she got a good promo, she got a good like theme going, and she was good in the ring. I thought it was a pretty good match. She won with some like reverse figure four leaf clover move or something.
Yeah, they're really telling the story of Bayley's injured leg. So I think that'll be something good they can use in the upcoming weeks to get more sympathy onto her, as to get the crowd rooted behind her, to make her the big baby face.
Mm-hmm. So where do you see those four women? Where do you see that storyline going?
Well, we'll see probably another couple matches between Charlotte and Ratchet.
Sasha Banks.
Sasha Banks. I was blanking. The beer's getting to me already.
You know what? The best thing about that beer is you get to you don't have to have dessert.
No,
beer, you got the dessert combo. Mm-hmm. Boom.
Well, that's the thing. Like the first one, you got to have the banana. Then you got to have a brownie. I think. Is there only four divas in NXT right now? Then they have a new one in, then they rotate one out. There's only four divas allowed at one time.
Yeah, good point. Is there? Well, there's got to be a couple other ones.
Then you can bring Natty in because they use Natty for everything.
Yeah, she lives down there, so it must be a little bit easy, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know where that's gonna go. I agree with you. A couple more matches with Charlotte, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch versus. Bayley for the next little while.
Eventually they'll do Charlotte versus Bayley again, and Bayley will beat Charlotte, and then I will say that wrestling on the Divas on NXT is still better than anything on Raw or SmackDown.
I agree. Yes, it's really fun. It's fun to watch.
It's like they limit them once they get them to the main roster.
Yeah, I don't know. Like we talked about in our pilot episode, your dislike with Paige. I don't know if you really talked about that too much, but
dislike Paige.
No, you said that they turned Paige. What did they do to Paige? They made her
they
work
got all
differently.
It's like your work level's here on NXT, and then once you get to the main roster, no, you can't go here. You got to dumb it down because Vince doesn't want the women to go like the men.
Yeah. All right. Well, so you think that you asked me if I thought Bayley. You thought Bayley could get over on the main roster or no?
Yeah. Will they give that character on it the time it needs on the main roster for people to like bond with her and identify with her and fall in love with her?
Yeah, that's all most people need, right? Is time.
Yeah. I don't, because everything is just so and changing every week. Okay, this week the Bellas are back together, and then they're broken up again, and AJ is good, and she's bad, and she's, I don't know. It's
too inconsistent. I agree.
Exactly. That's the word, inconsistencies on the Divas booking.
Yeah, like, terrible. I that Bella fiasco is just so silly. Like, spend so much time and have a main storyline with Stephanie and just blow it all away with this stupid 30-day challenge maid thing. I don't know. It's bad. It's bad.
But Total Divas is coming back again.
Yeah, Naomi's off of it. The Jimmy and Jey Uso's girlfriend, she's not on it anymore.
I have been liking that on the whole Jey Miz thing on Raw and SmackDown.
I've been enjoying that too. But you know what I don't understand is, if it is a reality era,
yeah,
why are we like referencing tweets and things like that? Like that could be an easy storyline, just someone getting pissed off at like talking about, why can't you talk about Twitter on in a promo, or like, I don't know, it's just.
Chikara is the one company that's actually used social media like that effectively to further storylines. And it doesn't cost them a dime. It's just so easy to do. I don't know why they don't capitalize on that more.
Like what? What's the biggest one you can think of right now?
Well, during the whole year, just as an example of that, they kind of took off that Chikara was dead. They used social media, used Twitter, they used this, they used that, even though they didn't actually have cards, just to further storylines to get the interest of the internet buzz higher and higher and get people invested in what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a fantastic idea, because it can be applied in a lot of different areas too. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. So you got the VOD villains. Yeah, VOD villains.
With Regal trying to get his title shot. And of course, I loved how the camera effects, something went black and white, old-timey.
Yeah, it went old-timey when they're talking to Regal. And they had an iPad and were showing him the end of the match. And I guess
got pinned. I was the legal man. How does this stand?
Yeah. And Regal is just like, okay, yes, that's true. He wasn't a very good sell job on it, but whatever.
We'll get a title shot. Great. Not tonight.
Not tonight. And Bull Dempsey came out. Squash match. Yeah, what do you think of the top rope headbutt? Because like, you kind of think he's like a big guy, so you think it'd be like a power move finisher, but no, it's like a top rope headbutt.
I don't know. Like, the only time top rope headbutts really work, unless it's like Daniel Bryan or Chris Benoit, and we all know how well that happened.
Yeah, that's not a good thing to go into. Bull, you stay away from the headbutts, please.
Yes.
No, but I don't think it's just for a big guy. You think like a power bomb or some power move. You don't think of a.
Well, they can't get the power bomb because that's Steen's finisher now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was using that as an example.
Yeah. So Bull beats his jobber quickly.
Yeah, and before he even gets to the back, Baron Corbin's music hits. So normally, obviously, a wrestler gets to go to the back before the next guy's music hits, but nope, not this time.
Bull sucks so much that, fuck it, get Corbin out here. The crowd has to count to 10.
Yeah, so double squash match in a row, because Corbin gets him in 14 seconds.
It's like almost, that's not a squash match. This is a squash match.
Mm-hmm. So they stare each other down, and then Dempsey pushes him.
Like a bitch.
And runs away.
Yes. And all the time, Corbin is still rocking the sweet lone wolf vest.
So do you think that will be Corbin's first true test? Will it be Will Dempsey?
No, he'll squash him in 13 seconds as well.
Really?
Yeah. They'll build it up, and then they want to make Baron Corbin like the unstoppable juggernaut phenom of NXT. I can see what they're doing right now.
If they do that, I would fucking lose my shit. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's a build it up for another squash match, that'd be amazing for sure. That'd be really cool.
What was the next segment?
Enzo Amore.
Our boys, Enzo and Big Cass.
Oh, these guys are so entertaining. Right off the bat, the way Enzo Amore comes out, he's got like these little like boxer flutter feet. Like he's just like a little butterfly. It's hilarious.
Yeah. We had the rest of the Ascension.
Yeah, and you can't soon teach
to,
that.
So, yeah, you can't teach that. You soon to be on Raw and SmackDown with face paint and shoulder pads. The Ascension.
The next Legion of Doom.
Yes.
Are you serious or is it a joke?
What?
Are you serious or that a joke?
No, I'm serious. Like, if you look at the vignettes that have been airing on WWE TV, they've got weird face paint and they're wearing some shoulder pad type things.
Hmm. I didn't see those yet.
And it even makes what's-his-name's hairline even worse because they're both like in a V down this way.
Pointing to it. This is...
My hairline goes like this.
Yeah, so I didn't see that. I'll check out those promos. So when are they? Probably next couple months? Or
probably within 2-3... Yeah, within a month. Yeah. Probably the first show after the winter break.
Yeah, makes sense, right? So Enzo starts to sing the 12 Days of Christmas. His version of the 12 Day of Christmas. I don't remember exactly what any of the particular like lines were, but it was pretty funny.
Anytime Big Cass sings, it's awesome.
Crowd, that's right, bro, for sure. Crowd pop huge for Big Cass's singing. And he did a pretty good job. Yeah, he was in tune.
Soft.
What was it? Certified G? Bonafide stud?
Yep. And can't teach that. How you doing?
But I was a little disappointed by the actual match itself.
Yeah, that was weird. Like, Cass was going toe-to-toe with the Ascension. Enzo tags himself in and immediately gets pinned.
Yeah, so I was a little disappointed because obviously you don't want your guys to look weak. You don't want your guys to look a little weak, right?
Well, I think I can see where they're going, too, because they're doing the whole storyline where anytime Enzo focuses on what's-her-name, then he gets distracted, and then...
Carmella is focused.
Carmella, yes.
Yeah, it just made him look really, really weak. I didn't like that.
Oh, sorry, we forgot. There's 5 divas on NXT. We forgot about Carmella.
Yeah, she actually... I've seen her wrestle. She is actually pretty good. She's a little skinny, but she did pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's pretty good there, Jerry.
Pretty good. After the match, Ascension cut a promo saying the feud with Finn and Itami isn't over.
Well, it's not over until he actually debut on the main roster.
Do you think there'll be a little crossover? They'll maybe have a month crossover on the show?
No, that would make too much sense.
Well... we'll see where it goes. I'm still not really sold on the Ascension. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
They're that throwback tag team, like the big, strong guys beating the fuck out of everybody.
Yeah.
Those guys are used. Don't have them on every week. They need to be like a once a month, 2 months. Oh shit, the Ascension are here. Like kind of like how they're using Brock. Like. Brock Lesnar is Brock Lesnar because he's not there every week. As much as people criticize him.
They should not overexpose everyone, not just Lesnar and the Ascension. Everybody, like, just somehow, some way, not have, like we talked about last show, not have Ziggler and Rollins meaningless match in the middle of SmackDown.
Like, look at what they're doing with Randy Orton. Like, he could come back at any time, but they were smart. Like, Orton needs to come back the second it looks like Rollins is going to win that with that money in the bank. The second he cashes in, it looks like the ref's going to count 3, he's going to come through the crowd, RKO him, cost him the match, and then leave. And then how over is that fucking crowd going to be for Randy Orton?
I don't know. Maybe for one night, but the next night they're not going
to. Don't even have Randy Orton wrestle anymore. Just have him like do like DDP used to with a diamond cutter. Come in, diamond cut, leave. Get that.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. But back to the Ascension for a second. I think that I would have preferred to keep Kenneth Cameron or Bram in the Ascension. And then I think I would have the potential would go from here to here, like, so much. Because
you just don't like Rick Victor.
I think that's what it is. It has to be more than the hairline. I'm trying to tell myself that it can't be the only reason I dislike this man is the hairline. There has to be some other reason.
Is that going to be a new segment of the show? Is how high is Rick Victor's hairline? Like, if he starts getting like hair plugs, is your like going to increase for him because his hairline is less?
It would be an interesting experiment. Social experiments for sure. But no, honestly, would you not agree that the Ascension's potential would be much higher with Kenneth Cameron?
Bram is fucking awesome.
I think they really missed out, by letting him go. I really think they missed out. So I just don't really particularly like the name Bram, but
yeah. Well, it's a Game of Thrones thing, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so Ascension, best of luck in going to the main roster.
And squashing the Usos and the Matadors.
Mm-hmm. They should turn the Matadors back to Mini Carlito and...
I'm surprised no one has just grabbed the bandana off their heads and realized, wait a minute, that's Epico!
Yeah, it's so stupid. I don't like the Matadors at all. That's dumb.
It's stupid and absurd.
Yeah, stupid. So we got the main event next. What's in the main event is Neville versus Dean.
Yes.
Awesome. On paper, amazing.
Dream match for the first time ever in this company.
So, Graves, like I was saying earlier, Corey Graves, Albert, I really like this, that they argue if Steen deserves to be in the main event scene or not. So,
how dare he?
I just love it. I love how he doesn't have to start from the bottom and work his way up. And that's what they even said on the show. They're like, oh, he should have to start his way on the bottom. And I really like that they addressed it because it's like... It's what I was thinking, and they addressed it. Like, how more simple can it be? Like, they're talking to an educated wrestling fan, in my opinion, right?
And it's the fact that he's just, no, I'm here now. It feels like it used to be back in the day when such and such showed up on Raw or such and such showed up in WCW. It's a big deal because it's a recognized name. He's got clout. He's got a following. Capitalize on it.
It makes perfect sense to me, so.
Yeah.
So, the match gets underway. And what did you think of Steen's pace? Did you notice a difference in his pace?
Dirty programming. I noticed that right away. It's not that bam, bam, bam. He's taking JR's advice. You got to slow it down, son. You got to slow down.
I liked it because he was the heel, and I liked that the heel worked that slow pace where he was like kind of rolling out of the ring and kind of controlling it, but
it felt off. It felt I could tell, like, I couldn't put my finger on it. It was different.
Definitely different, but I did enjoy it because last week we saw the pace that we're used to with him versus CJ Parker.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that pace. So he's shown both already in two shows.
Yeah.
That's a lot of diversity. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it wasn't a bad match. I like the ending. I think that's the only way that could have ended, because double count out doesn't really affect either guy. They don't lose anything, but it just builds it to another match.
Yeah. Yeah. So no finishers. You see that awesome like DDT from through Neville's legs on the top rope?
Oh, yeah. Like Neville sold that perfectly. Yeah.
That was a great sell.
Oh, great sell.
Then Steen did his powerbomb to Neville on the ring apron again. Mm-hmm. And but first thing I thought was, no frantic Regal?
Regal should have been there and just looking all stern and cross at him.
He should have done it again because, like, the scene that Regal made last week compared to, like, not even coming out for Neville, like, come on. If I was Neville, I'd be like, care about him? Not me?
That filthy pullet kick, Kevin Owens. What was that book Regal was reading in that promo with the It looks like he was reading the dictionary. It was just like big thick book with small print.
I didn't notice.
Yeah. But yeah, great episode.
Great episode, yeah. To have a match like that, quality match like that, Neville versus Owens, and you get to see Enzo. The ladies match, the Divas match was great. Great promos.
Yeah, but it was solid. It was once again very solid episode.
Continue the storytelling, Baron Corbin. Yeah, lots of storytelling. It was great episode.
What would you give this episode out of 4?
Well, the only thing my biggest complaint, which is actually a big complaint now that I think about it, is Enzo Amore shit match or booking of it, or I don't know. I didn't like it. So out of 4, I'll give it a 2.5 because of that. If it was like, if that didn't happen, if it was a little bit longer match, a little bit more competitive, didn't make them look so weak, I'd probably give it like a 3.5, I'd say.
Okay. I will give it a 3.5. I'm an optimist. I'll give it 3.5 banana beer.
Banana bread beer.
Mm-hmm. Definitely not gluten-free. It's got all of the gluten, Zach.
All the glutens?
All of the glutens.
What about that, all those trans fats? They got those trans fats?
Oh, man, they got so much trans fats, it's unreal.
Got that MSG?
Yeah, Leroy De La Rosa here on the NXT podcast, man. How you doing, Zach?
I'm doing good, man. So you want to talk about TLC a little bit?
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to talk about the total. Well, let's link them. So NXT Revolution was the shit. That was probably one of the best shows they put on in the last, 6 months. Would you agree?
Huge buzz everywhere. Everyone, internet was blown up saying how all the wrestlers wanted to compared to that or put on a better show for the TLC pay-per-view. So
yeah.
we expect big things. I had big expectations for the show.
So 3 nights later, WWE had their TLC pay-per-view. So I can really see a whole class warfare, us versus them. Like, how dare the developmental upstage us? Like, I could see Cena losing his shit backstage. Having a temper tantrum.
I could see it too, for sure. So, how do they start the show? They start the show with Dolph versus Harper.
Oh, great match. Great ladder match.
So, a big, dominating big man versus one of the better little sellers. So
working his ass off. I thought Harper really fucked up his arm on that one dive to the outside.
Mm-hmm. Looked dangerous.
Oh, yeah. And that was kind of the highlight for the whole pay-per-view. Like, that whole the pay-per-view felt really flat. It's like they were trying too hard, but it wasn't substance, and I don't know.
I listened to a review where someone said that they liked the Big Show Eric Rowan match.
I thought Show was working hard for Show. Like, he was trying to make that match work.
It's just, I don't know how you can make it entertaining. I don't know. Oh, it's just, I don't know. I'm a little frustrated with the WWE right now. Especially when they're, maybe it is because NXT is so good, and maybe because I feel spoiled by such a good show there, where I don't feel like they're doing enough storytelling up with the main roster.
Well, I was shocked that Cena versus Rollins wasn't the main event.
That was crazy. Yeah, we were texting each other about that.
The one thing I will say, the MVPs on for that pay-per-view were Jamie Noble and Mercury, J&J Security in that match.
Oh, J&J Security. I'm glad they're getting a little bit of spotlight again, because those guys are doing great. Like, when Seth Rollins is doing kind of promo, they're in the background.
And Mercury's just selling it, looking all mean. That's right.
Oh yeah, they're both in the background selling it great. And I'm enjoying Rollins right now. Like, I didn't think he would get as over in my eyes as quickly as he has. And
The crowd was chanting, let's go Rollins, man. They're getting behind him, even though...
His promos are really, really good. Like, he's assertive in his promos. He doesn't seem deliberate. He's really good at cutting a good promo, and he's being a good heel right now. So, got to give it up to Rollins right now.
What did you think of the main event of Bray versus Ambrose?
It was good. The small ladder, the medium ladder, the large ladder.
Yeah.
Ambrose doing the elbow drops off each one. And
his facial reactions were vintage and awesome.
Yeah, so spot. What did you think?
I like the finish. Him versus the TV. The TV exploded.
My favorite Twitter comment was, I forget who it was, but is this a metaphor for NXT
blowing up? Yeah.
Destroying your show. No, getting. Yeah, I don't know. It was something to that effect, but it was pretty funny. No, I thought it was pretty dumb. Yeah, I'll tell you why I think it's dumb. Because it made Ambrose look dumb as fuck.
Yeah. It did. Pyro!
It made Ambrose look stupid. Like, what? What just happened? Like, why would you do that, Ambrose? You're so dumb.
That's a good finish if that was third match on the card or the fifth match on the card, but not the main event.
I don't mind the creativity, trying something new.
Yes.
Except for the fact that it made the guy look dumb.
And I will say this again. When is Seth Rollins just going to cash in Money the Bank when he knows Lesnar is not there and just win by forfeit?
How do you do that? Don't you have to...
He can... Well, the rules of the Money the Bank say you can cash in the briefcase anytime, anywhere. So if the champion isn't there, he forfeits. So as a champion, you should be on every single show just in case whoever has that Money in the Bank tries to cash in or you're going to lose your title. That's the psychology it should have.
I don't think that's not an official rule because I've never heard anyone say that on TV. You're just kind of making that up, aren't you?
No, because think of how the Money in the Banks have been used in the past. Like, anytime anyone wants to use it, they just bring out a referee.
Yeah, but the champion has to be there.
Who says?
Who says that they don't? You say that they don't.
It's the rules of the Money in the Bank. Like, it's anytime, any place, anywhere.
It's your rules of the Money in the Bank. You're just making them up right now.
It's the easiest way to get the belt off Lesnar without him losing anything.
I don't like it. I don't like it, Bachelor.
You don't like it? You're not selling it, Zach. You're not selling it.
Not this time. Not this time. I'm sorry. No, but I really think that Rollins has great potential. I think I watched the latest episode documentary style of the WWE Monday Night Wars with the Click.
How was that? I saw the commercial for that.
Really fantastic. They always do a really good job with those. I really like the documentary style. But I was going to the fact that I think Ambrose has a lot of talent. But Roman Reigns reminds me, his layback style, of a Kevin Nash a little bit. Like, yeah. I don't know. It's just, I know that obviously not the look, obviously, but just kind of like the demeanor, the laid back, cocky attitude kind of reminds me of Kevin Nash. So I just wanted to share that.
And on that Monday Night Wars, they were talking about Kev and Kid and me, and Sean was driving, and Hunter because he didn't drink. Thank you, Scott Hall.
Yeah, so, so Rollins, great. Ambrose, stupid.
Stupid, absurd.
Roman, Kevin Nash. That's
your TLC review. that's your TLC haiku. So that's that. What else has been going on? My highlight of Raw the next night. Jimmy Jacobs was a fucking rosebud.
Jimmy Jacobs, and I think I heard somewhere of Scarlett Bordeaux was there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Scarlett was there, too. I didn't recognize her because she dyed her hair, but I'm half paying attention because it's an Adam Rose match, and I look up, and there's fucking Jimmy Jacobs, knowing he's on camera, selling the shit out of his enthusiasm for Adam Rose, wearing his long fur jacket. I'm like, that's awesome.
That's
and
cool.
He's like, he's getting sympathy, like, come on, Adam, do it for us, Adam.
Yeah, Jimmy, I hope Jimmy gets a chance somewhere. He deserves it. I hope, yeah, Jimmy and Roddy and those guys should be next, I think, for sure.
And I popped huge, like, I guess behind the scenes, they had a group photo of the Age of the Fall reunion. And it's pretty sad that Jacobs is the only one member of Age of the Fall that doesn't actually have a job in WWE. Because it was him, it was Seth, it was Mercury, and Luke Harper.
Yeah, I didn't watch ROH back then, so I didn't know that Mercury was in it. So how long was Joey in that group?
Just for a bit. Like, that's when he cleaned up his act.
Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of talent in that group.
The only person each of the Fall members they were missing were Delirious and Necro.
And you know, Necro will never happen for sure.
Nope.
But it's pretty good. I like when that's. I like history in general, but I like looking back and you get to see like little factions like that and the amount of talent that comes out of it. So it's interesting to me. It's
funny because I thought Jimmy was under ROH contract. So evidently ROH contract doesn't prohibit being used as an extra on WWE TV.
You know what? I always thought the bunny could be Jay Briscoe.
Well, I guess they kind of spoiled who the bunny was on, you know how they do on the app? The exclusive promos and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they were doing something, and Hunico was wearing half the bunny outfit in the background.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So far, the bunny's been Zack Ryder, it's been Justin Gabriel, and I guess now it's Hunico.
So they spoiled it?
Kinda. I guess they're trying to edit that footage like no one realized. Oh shit, Hunico, get out of the shot.
Oh, shucks. They ruined the gimmick. They ruined it.
Yep.
How much longer could you keep it going, though, really?
Well, that's the reveal. Like, Adam Rose turns heel on the bunny. You reveal who the bunny is, and then they feud with the guy, and... If this was Chikara, then the bunny would just wrestle as the bunny, and...
Remember, I think you showed me one of... I think it might have been Chikara with the dragon. The dragon?
Yes, Dragon, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was still epic until they killed Dragon.
Yeah, so it was like same kind of thing as a bunny, but a guy in a big dragon suit.
Mascot
of
him, yeah.
This was a long time ago, so.
Back in the day, there was CP Monk and Colt Cabunny. That was a thing. That is a thing. Look it up on YouTube. And that was Necro actually in the CP Monk outfit. That's entertaining. So, yeah, CP, it was during, I think it was a Tag World Grand Prix 1 year. Because they did CP Monk once before as a one-off. Then, yeah, it was the Second City Saints. It was it's full CM Punk, like, tattoo and the basketball shorts doing the straight edge X's. And someone, a giant bunny mascot in Colt Cabana's tights. And then the heads came off, and it was Necro and Joker underneath. And then they just started to stiff the fuck out of the guys.
That's
Chikara.
Yeah, what's have you seen Necro in a long time?
I follow Necro on Facebook.
What's he up to?
Wrestling in Mexico, drinking a lot of beer and smoking weed.
Nice.
So exactly kind of what Necro you think Necro would be doing right now.
Right on. So do you ever think he'll do anything?
No.
Like be an agent or anything?
No. Which is sad, because I think he's a really smart guy, but it is what it is, man.
You think he will fall into the Masada?
Yes.
Him, Masada, will just be broken somewhere.
Do you want to...
Broken.
In a ditch. Like Mickey Rourke and The Wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Which is ironic, because he was in The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke. Should we do a little bit of indie wrap-up news?
Sure, let's do it.
CZW Cage of Death was their last Saturday, CZW's biggest event of the year, and we have a new CZW World Heavyweight Champion, and Black Cheese Sabian. He is your new CZW World Champion. He won, I believe, a four-way of him, Drew Galak, Nunzio, or whatever the fuck his name is, the former Niles Young, and Biff Busick. That was the best I think they could come up with for Cage of Death. I don't know. I didn't watch the whole show. I watched Bits and Pieces, but Sabian had the finish was he had the Nunzio guy, Niles Young guy, tied to the cage, and he broke out the weed whacker and went zap, zap, zap with obviously not much of a blade on that weed whacker, but it's the visual, and Niles Young couldn't continue, and Black Cheese is your champ now.
Well, there you go. I don't watch a lot of CZW, but there you go.
We had a Norman Smiley Memorial food fight slash street fight with Greg Excellent versus Matt Tremont, and they each had a mystery partner. So Matt Tremont's partner was some Montreal wrestler, which I vaguely kind of recognize, but not really. And Greg Excellent's partner was Sexy Eddie, making his return to CZW, and that was awesome. He got a nice welcome back pop to CZW, because that's kind of where he really rose to prominence and got really popular. It was like through his performances in Tournament of Death and all that kind of stuff, like over 10 years ago.
Yeah, you're telling me the story, because he's a Canadian guy, right?
Yeah, he's one of the Montreal guys with Steen and Generico.
Mm-hmm.
He's part of that crew.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. So, you think CZW is going to... I haven't heard much of them about them. Are they kind of going downhill lately?
No, CZW just kind of plateaued. Like, they had a lot of momentum when, like, they were running the arena every month, but then the arena went out of business and they found a new home, and I don't know, DJ High just doesn't want to grow the company in the ways I think it needs to grow. Like, they've got a lot of good talent, but it's, like, kind of self-contained. Like, Rich Swann wrestles out of CZW still. Like, he was, like, an original CZW guy. Like, Adam Cole was a CZW guy, but he's gone on to ROH and other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see.
Yeah.
In PWG news, we got a new PWG World Heavyweight Champion at their most recent event, Black Cole Sun. Our boy, Roddy Strong, bro.
Roddy Strong. First of all, I really like the name of that pay-per-view, Black Hole Sun. Black I really like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Main event was Kyle O'Reilly versus Ricochet.
Wouldn't it be Black Hole Sun? Do you think Adam Cole would be in the main event?
Yeah. I don't know. I think he wrestled that Trevor Lee guy.
He did. I thought he got injured, so maybe that's why. I thought he was lower on the card, but I wasn't really quite sure about that.
Yeah.
Because he's advertised in January for an ROH show, so I wasn't really sure about that, so...
Yeah, maybe it's like a nagging injury and he's just taking time off.
But it's kind of still weird to have the pay-per-view called...
Black Cole Sun, yeah. But Kyle O'Reilly beats Ricochet, then Roddy Strong comes out and just lays him out because Roddy Strong won Best of the Best, and or no, Battle of Los Angeles. Best of the Best is easy to do. So, and then Kyle O'Reilly just accepts his challenges and makes it into a guerrilla warfare match. Back and forth, and new PWG champ, Roddy Strong.
I did not see it, but I saw the highlights, and they're fantastic. Mm. I think they have a little highlight package of that. I really suggest anyone who hasn't seen it, go watch it, because it's some great action. Kyle O'Reilly, great young wrestler, Canadian guy. He really infuses that MMA style in his working, so it's great.
Hell of a 2014 he's had.
Mm-hmm.
Current one half of your New Japan Junior Tag Team Champions and ROH Tag Team Champions.
You knew it, though, from the time when they're, both of those, Adam Cole and O'Reilly, were mentored in ROH by
Davey and
Future Shock. Those matches were great. You knew that they're both going to go do great things. And I think Bobby Fish is going to help bring out a little personality in Kyle O'Reilly. So before that, he was like, it's a little bland, but I think that the Fishmeister has helped him out a little bit.
For Red Dragon. Mm-hmm. I guess that we should segue that into the upcoming New Japan Pro Wrestling pay-per-view, co-produced, promoted in North America on pay-per-view from Jeff Jarrett's Global Force Wrestling. Commentary by Jim Ross, that's huge. I can't wait for that show.
And Matt Stryker got announced.
Matt Stryker. So, some decent commentary, even though I do like listening to the Japanese commentary.
Yeah, you say that you kind of understand Japanese from all your years of listening to Japanese.
Yes, I can follow it. Like, depends on how many of these banana bread beers I have and some other medicine I got from Necro. But,
so you need, the more beers you have, you understand, or the less beers?
The more beers.
More beers, okay.
I form a bond with the Japanese commentary. Kenny Omega. That was my favorite, the whole thing, when Kenny Omega made his debut as part of the Bullet Club at the last New Japan card. The commentary, just anytime they said Kenny Omega, it came out, Kenny Omega.
Right on. So the pay-per-view is coming up, and
did you see like the 30-minute hype package that they had with JR just putting over the product?
I've seen a couple of them. I'm not sure because I don't know how many they have now. So yeah. I've seen a couple of them. I've seen one with JR talking, but I don't know if it's the same one you're talking about.
And JR's like, "This is a one-off thing. This could be my last dance, but I wanted to go back to it on a big show, and it feels like a big show because I respect the product because they're all working hard."
I think it's someone I saw. Yeah. I just want to tell good stories.
And was that WDB? And I'm not going to talk bad about them. They gave me an opportunity. But Jeff Jarrett, they got something special here.
It's something special. Yeah, so I look forward to it. I don't know a lot of Japanese guys, but I'll give it a chance. Just because I am interested to see where the Global Force brand goes, because I'm always cheering for a competitor against the WWE for the reasons that we've talked about all the time.
So now, especially if WWE is going to start competing with themselves with NXT, haha! See how I brought it all around there?
Yeah, because it is the NXT show we got next.
Yes, and it's. NXT is so strong, they have bonds all over the place. So we could talk about PWG because of the Young Bucks with Kevin Steen. We could talk about Japan with Fergal Devitt in New Japan.
Let's end on one fascinating story of the week that the Young Bucks turned down a WWE offer. Do you think that's true? And second of all, if it is true, why do you think they would do such a thing?
Because they don't need it. Like, the Bucks are probably two of the smartest wrestlers in the business right now. They realize that they are an attraction. Like, when the Super Kick Party comes to your town, they can do what they want, they can say what they want, they can wrestle how they want to wrestle, and they're going to make a lot of money going all over the world. They don't need to go WWE yet.
Makes sense to me. They're making lots of money. They're making probably lots of money per appearance because they are the top act on the indies right now.
Yep.
They're probably selling lots of merchandise because they are the top act. And they're probably selling lots of autographs.
And they can have any type of match that they want to have. Like, they're not going to – you can't do this. You can't do this. You have to slow down. They realize, like, they describe it themselves. Their matches are wrestling on cocaine. Like, if you like cocaine, you'll probably like a Young Bucks match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but it seems like a risky thing to do, I guess.
Mm-hmm. They got an ego, but it's good to have an ego. Like, you can't let WWE control everything. Like, and say, I don't know, you can't live your life. There's other places to wrestle. You just have to find them.
Yeah, I agree. I think too with. CM Punk saying the things that he said, and
I haven't seen it. Did you see him in Landsberg?
I watched the little the 1 minute clip of it that was circulating.
How? Like, I haven't seen it yet. Was it that good, or was it just more blown out of proportion?
It was pretty good. He was just basically calling him out, saying how Landsberg talked to him off camera and how he was trying to be his friend, and then on camera he's trying to be like the cool kid in school, and then it was just a little chirpy. It was good.
Yeah, because Landsberg can be a bit of a dick anyway.
We'll finish the story. You know my Michael Landsberg story, right?
Repeat it for the viewers of We Got Next.
Okay, well, this is a Michael Landsberg is my nemesis too, so I can really
host of Off the Record on TSN.
Been doing wrestling interviews for a long time, ever since the 90s. Did Vince McMahon back in the 90s and everything. So, when I was working at Future Shop, this has got to be 2003, 2004, 2005, in that area. So, early 2000s. They ship us to go down to Toronto. It's about an hour drive in a bus. And so we got drunk in this bus and we were going to a Bell mobility party. And it was a big event. And I was totally hammered because there's an open bar and Michael Landsberg is MC for the night. So he's talking. And at this point, I'm skipped ahead a bunch, but I'm really freaking hammered. And I'm yelling at Landsberg. He's on stage and I'm like right below him. And I'm yelling
just
at him.
Just chirping him.
Chirping him. I forget what I'm saying, but I'm a mess. I know I'm just like, fucking Landsberg, you suck dick. Or something. I don't know. Just this weird shit, right? And he starts.
Shame on you, Landsberg. Shame on you.
I can hear him on the mic, and he starts chirping me. And he's like, in front of everyone, Landsberg started, like, making fun of me. And, like, everyone's laughing and stuff. And, oh, man. And then eventually I was chirping him back, so we got in this little chirp war. And he's still on the mic, and everyone's, like, involved in this. And then security comes over, and they're like, you got to stop chirping Landsberg. I don't think they said chirping, but they said something.
You know you're right, but you got to stop.
I was probably wrong. I was young. I was probably wrong. I was interrupting the show. And, and well, I guess in retrospect and as I age, he should be my nemesis. But still, I have a strong dislike for Michael Landsberg because of that night. So, CM Punk, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you.
I feel you, son. I feel you.
He's fake. Guy's fake.
He's fake. Well, on that note, we should wrap up this first episode of We Got NXT.
We Got Next.
You can follow us on our brand new Twitter at We Got NXT Podcast. You can join the party on our Facebook group of We Got NXT Podcast. You can send us an email at... we're prepared for that one, were you? at tinytightshow@gmail.com. We'll stick with that one for now. And you can follow us, subscribe to our YouTube page as well, and watch...
content and watch our Roman Reigns video because Roman Reigns is an amazing keyword.
He's a superstar of the year, damn it. Thanks, Vince.
Thanks, guys, for listening to the show this week, and tune in every Sunday for We Got Next. Get some wrestling fix before Raw.
Absolutely. We still need to come out with an outro. We got to need to come out with an outro, like a catchphrase or something like that.
Get your wrestling fix before Raw.
All right. So I am one half of your broadcast team, Mike Batchelor.
I'm Zach Selleck.
Get your wrestling fix before Raw. Bop, 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 bop. Okay, where the fuck is my mouse? Power of editing. Oh, there it is. And...